This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's show. I really enjoyed today's conversation with Topaz Adaziz. And Topaz is an Emmy Award-winning writer, director, and experienced design architect. He is currently the founder and executive director of the experienced design studio, The Skin Deep. He's also the author of 12 Questions for Love, a guide to intimate conversations and deeper relationships, where he reveals how every relationship can be deepened through the 12 carefully crafted questions featured in his documentary series, The And. We'll link to that series in our show notes. I highly encourage you to check that out. And I just love today's conversation where Topaz and I talk about what he's learned through all of these conversations that he's curated and documented in this video series and created this space to have conversations. And him and I dive deep into what it means to create a space to have more meaningful conversations and how a lot of these conversations, it's not even about the words. Obviously, we're going to get to the words and the questions, which are important, but how are you setting up the space to have a deep, meaningful conversation? And he gives some specific examples and tools to do so. And then we dive into what it means to ask a good question. How do we ask better questions? And a lot of specific questions that will really get you thinking to ask your friends, family, partner, and yourself. I just loved this conversation. I know you guys will too. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. If you love this show, if you listen to others, please leave us a review. We really appreciate that. Thank you for tuning in. Enjoy the show. Hi, Topaz. Thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Hey, Chase. Good to be here, man. Let's do this.
I'd like to start with having you share with our listeners why you've dedicated so much of your work, written a book about helping people have deeper, more intimate conversations.
Yeah, good question. My work is predicated on 10 years of hosting the space of The And. And The And is basically illuminating the space between. The And speaks about a relationship is not you or I, us or them. It's us and them. You and I, it's the and that connects us. So that's what The And is about. And basically the way we did it is it had people come in facing each other and we would offer them questions and they'd ask each other questions and we'd film it with three cameras, a wide shot and then two over the shoulder close-ups. And whenever we present this, it's on YouTube, it's on, you know, TikTok and all that. And you always see both people speaking at the same, you know, speaking and listening at the same time. We're always at minimal showing you a bi-panel. And what that does is it illuminates how they're connecting and how they're responding to each other. And for doing that for 10 years, and what's coming to the book is just, you know, what have we learned from that, my team and I? You know, how is it that we've been able to create the space for these cathartic, deep conversations that basically change the relationship forever? To create the space to have a new conversation, to have a space to venture into different areas of your relationship and illuminate your connection that maybe you felt but never articulated or didn't even know were there. Now, why that fell into my lap, you know, that's a good question. It's kind of what I wondered in the book partially just in terms of why did this format fall into my hands. And I think from a very young age, due to like mediating my parents' divorce, or my experience was I was mediating my parents' divorce, you know, at the age of 3 or 4, that kind of the first time seeing my parents fight in front of me. And that kind of woke my soul up, like made me wake up in terms of how do I handle the situation? And I think that laid a seed in me of just searching for intimacy and connection. And I think I've been searching for that all my life. And I think that's what led me, you know, through my filmmaking into doing this kind of social experiment. We've had over 1,200 pairs sit down and have these conversations with questions that we present to them. And I guess, you know, that's maybe why I fell into it. But I think ultimately, my team and I feel we have this beautiful format that's really powerful. It's cathartic. It's really useful for people to participate in, to watch. And we feel really responsible for it and offering value to others in terms of deepening your relationship. Because where do you really learn that? I mean, you just, you know, we learn how to relate basically from the modeling of our families. But there's no really class for that. There's no, you know, program. I mean, so where do we really learn how to do that? And this is the offering here with the book and with our card games, which are, you know, questions, and with the videos we post.
I want to talk about the 12 questions and give people some tools to be able to have a conversation, as you said in the pre-show, that can change their relationship forever. First, I want to ask you, through all of this work, all the conversations you've facilitated, is there anything that really surprised you in the format? And I'm sure the questions have evolved. Is there anything that really stuck out as maybe a surprise or a common theme as it relates to these conversations and two individuals coming together outside of just the questions?
I think one learning I had was just simply how, because it's kind of many times I'm in the room. And if you think about it, it's an awkward experience. Two people facing each other, talking for an hour and a half. And we're watching them. And it's quiet. And we do that all day for a weekend. And we get 14 pairs coming in. And so basically the whole day you're sitting there watching people talk. And if you think about it from the outside, it was kind of out of my experience. Kind of one time I was like, this is awkward. If someone just walked in, they'd be like, what's going on here? What is this social experiment? But in that, I get many illuminations watching and listening because I see all these patterns of these intimate conversations. And one pattern I see is just oftentimes we fall into this societal programming I call cultural mantras, where we just kind of respond what we think is the response. And that really hit me first time when we did a series of blind dates. And one of our questions is, why do you think I'm still single? And weirdly enough, basically all the answers were the same, because you're still taking time to figure yourself out. Because you're figuring yourself out first. And I thought, wow, is that really true? How is it that all these different people of different backgrounds and experiences and genders are saying the same thing? What is that? Is that really true? Or is that just the societal programming that we think is true? Some cultural mantra that we play off. And so that made me think, how often are we responding with some societal programming? Just that we assume that's what it is. And a small version is, how's your day? Great. What's the weather like? Good, sunny. I mean, that's a very subtle program of easy code for making the introduction or connecting without really talking. So how much of that do we bring into our relationships, into our conversations? And so that was one interesting thing I saw. And with the relationships, with the pairs I've seen, and you know, we've done romantic couples, we've done fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, we've done everything you can imagine, best friends, coworkers. Is the ability to really listen. The ability to really listen. And I call it deep listening. And that's feeling to listen. Not responding, not listening through the brain, which is built to protect you, but listening through the heart that's built to connect you. And so that was also surprises. How much of a listening are we doing? You know, how much to our bodies? Right? How much are we speaking through our bodies? How much are we speaking to the other through our intuition and our what's deeper, what's below the surface, not just on a level of, you know, societal programming or our brain trying to protect us or to win the argument or to sound right?
What are some tools or some ways that people can start to cultivate the practice of listening from the heart?
Breathe. And even before that, and why breathe? Because it makes you slow down. And oftentimes you find that when you start moving into a vulnerable conversation or unknown territory, it might feel uncomfortable. And so our our instinct when it gets uncomfortable is to move fast, right? Do the opposite. Breathe, slow down. And why should you slow down in discomfort? Because there's so much nutrients in the discomfort for growth, right? The path to growth is lit by your fears and discomfort. So pursue them wherever they appear. And instead of trying to combat them and get through them, actually slow down in it, sit in it, and breathe through it. And the reason I think that's really helpful is kind of is because we're so bred to have solutions and come up with the answer. And that's a thought. We're so processed on these thoughts instead of actually sitting with the emotion. And it's so much more productive to sit with the emotion. And what I mean by that is just like an image is worth 1,000 words, and you could spend your time describing an image worth 1,000 words, an emotion is worth 1,000 thoughts. So instead of spending time on your 1,000 thoughts trying to process something, just sit in the emotion, breathe through it. That'll get your body quicker. And let's see what comes up. And that's how you could process through those 1,000 thoughts, you know, operating through the brain versus through the body and the heart, right? So I think that's a super helpful way. So slow down, breathing is helpful there. And in these conversations, you don't always have to solve something. You don't always have to get to a resolution. Part of what's beautiful about any relationship is the ability to sit in the space of discomfort, to sit in the space of exploration, right? Oftentimes we forget that in our Western world. And I mean, you live in Nassar, which is even more of a benefit. I don't know what it's like there to live full time, but being present to moments and emotions and being them has benefits. You're laying seeds that will blossom in the future that you don't necessarily have to cognitively think about and get to a resolution or to an answer right now. Does that make sense? Does that resonate with you?
Yeah, so much. And it's so valuable to take that pause, and for so many reasons, you know, to not have that automated fight or flight response, to sit with our feelings without our partner in that conversation alone. And then even when we're with them, to take that pause. And it makes me think of a couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege to go to a talk with David White, who's a poet.
He lives down there, doesn't he? He spends a lot of time
part-time there. And talk about, I mean, he's arguably the greatest living poet alive right now, some would say. And so I'm hard of hearing, and I'm interested. So I'm sitting a foot away from him, right in the front. And the guy talks in poetry, even when he's not reciting his own. And one of the most powerful things that he did when he was reciting and when he was just talking and telling us the backgrounds of his poems was pause. And sometimes for like 30 seconds. And when he first did it, I thought maybe he's done or he forgot something. And it was so captivating and so moving and kind of like put everyone, I can't speak for everyone, but it seemed this way, certainly myself, into this frequency of like co-resonating with him and being in the same world and connecting. It was incredible. And he wasn't saying anything. And so there's so much there. When we talk about conversations and communication, we think about words. I'm anxious sometimes and I want to talk and I want to, and it's like, man, just sit with myself, to sit with my friend, to sit with my partner and look them in the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, so powerful. Yeah.
So when you say that, what comes up for me is two things. One is I think we often, because we're so focused in the West of being productive oriented, what are you doing? You know, what are you making? Who are you? Where are you? Like, who are you is more basically, what are you doing? What's your job? Like, we're not, and part of that, and you know, the book is focused on 12 questions and how to deep listen, but ultimately it's about holding the space for each other and being in the emotion of that space. And there's a lot that goes on. I'm talking about 1,000 emotions worth 1,000 thoughts. There's a lot that goes on by sitting in emotion together. And we don't necessarily have to verbalize it, right? What you're saying is, I remember in 2000, I was at the Hela Kumbh Mela, which is the Kumbh Mela. This was in Allahabad, India. I was young. I was, I don't know, 22 or something. And I was there for 2 weeks. It was a 5-week spiritual thing that people get together. It happens every 3 years in one of 4 cities, but every 144 years is the Hela Kumbh Mela. And that's what happened in 2000, 2001, early 2001. I was there and I was listening to, and everyone shows up. Dalai Lama shows up. All these Saudis show up. I mean, it's millions of people for 5 weeks, even longer. And there's like five lunar eclipses. It's just solar eclipses in a short amount of time. So it's a very special period of time. And there's all these gurus and masters and people speaking. And I remember listening to some where they're speaking a language I don't understand. And of course it's being translated. But as I'm sitting there, I'm realizing I don't have to cognitively understand what they're saying. I'm listening to the sound of their voice. I'm listening to the vibration of what they're saying. And that listening in my body, that's what I mean by deep listening, right? Listening to feel, feeling to listen. And I know that that's laying seeds in me that maybe my conscious cognitive level doesn't understand, but my subconscious, my body does. And that's what I hear from you saying when David White takes those 30 seconds of pause and just lets the space be. And even though he's not saying words, they're laying ideas that are blossoming and growing, and that energy field is growing between all of us. And that's what I'm suggesting with these questions, 12 questions for love. It's really, here's the mechanics of how to do that. And it's not, we have to get to a solution. It's not that we're going to have a certain kind of conversation. What we are going to have with anybody in your life is how to create the space to sit in an exploratory conversation that might be uncomfortable, that might not be, but that's ultimately going to create a more resilient, fulfilling connection with the person you're speaking. Isn't that what we all want? Isn't that what we all want? Of like greater reflections of what it means to be alive, to be human, is, you know, seeing the reflections that others are offering you and you offering it to them. And that's basically, I think, the gift, in my opinion, that I'm offering through this book. You know, that's kind of where I've come to. Yeah. What comes up? I see you smiling. Will you vibe and tell me?
Man, I love it. And I mean, we could just talk about this. To me, it's very spiritual, but this energetic of being in the presence. And, you know, we're not together in the room, but I'm looking at you. But certainly when you're in the room with someone, when you're having a conversation with a loved one and allowing that space, as you said, you know, it's uncomfortable. But allowing it, and I'm just thinking, like, how much if a couple sits down and they want to talk about something, if for the first 5 minutes you held hands or you embraced and didn't say anything and you look each other in the eyes, like, how much could we just solve without even having to have a conversation, you know? And that's this beautiful, deeper thing within us, right? Being human, that it's unconscious, and it's, I think it is a mechanism that we have. We're social creatures that evolved for millions of years to pick up on energies and subtle movements and where the eyes are looking. What you're saying just is pulling on this thread for me of allowing the space for that. And so much on the show, we talk about the tools and we're going to get into the questions, and I'm excited to get to words, but how much value there is in touch, in eye gazing, in your posture, in all the nonverbal communication.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. When you work full-time, have kids, and run a podcast, it's hard to make time for a multiple-step skincare protocol. That's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. Let me repeat it. They make it easy. No complicated routine, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. If you're looking for skincare products that are simple and effective, for a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase when using the code IDO when you check out at oneskin.co. I've been using OneSkin's body lotion for about a month, and I've already seen noticeable improvements with small wrinkles and textures on my skin, specifically on the back of my neck and the back of my hands, two places where I get a lot of sun. Plus, my skin looks and feels healthier all around. It's all thanks to OneSkin's revolutionary OS-01 peptide, the first ingredient proven to deactivate aging cells responsible for lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. Unlike traditional skincare products that only mask symptoms, OneSkin pioneered a new approach integrating tissue engineering and cutting-edge science to enhance skin biology for lasting resilience against aging. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using the code IDO at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with the code IDO. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support your show and tell them we sent you. Women's health, especially PMS and perimenopause, has been one of those chronically neglected areas when it comes to research and solutions. Thankfully, we have today's sponsor, Happy Mammoth. Our sponsor, Happy Mammoth, saw that there were no effective nature-inspired solutions to these issues, so they made one. Estrocontrol. Relationship advice listeners can now get 15% off your entire order on happymammoth.com with our promo code IDO at checkout. Estrocontrol contains science-backed herbal extracts that help support hormonal health. The way Estrocontrol eases PMS is pretty interesting. The ingredients help support the liver, and that is where all of our hormones get processed, especially estrogen. So when estrogen isn't processed well in the liver, some women may start having PMS symptoms, like spots on the skin, cravings, and feeling low all of a sudden. Estrocontrol was created to help women feel like themselves throughout the whole month. Estrocontrol is made especially for women who are premenopausal. It's really great for perimenopause when hormones start to fluctuate and PMS becomes really rough. I personally struggle from PMS firsthand, from super discomfort to just not feeling like myself. PMS has put me through the ringer time and time again, and I know it's not just me. I've seen my relationship suffer in those times when PMS takes over. Estrocontrol works to relieve many of those consuming PMS symptoms, helping us regain control. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with a promo code IDO at checkout. That's happymammoth, MAMMOTH.com, and use the promo code IDO for 15% off your first order.
And what I hear you saying when you say that is about creating the space. Right? You're not going to cook in the bathroom and you're not going to go to the bathroom in the kitchen. There are certain spaces to have certain things. Where do we have the space to have uncomfortable conversations? Where do we create the space to have deep conversations? Where do we have the space to have conversations where we express our love for one another? With any person intimate with, your father, your brother, your lover, right? Your children. We don't really, you know, there's a new thing in architecture that I've come across, but I know it's been around, is these talking pits, or these, where it's kind of like these sections of homes that are depressed. So you walk down into them and it's kind of like couches so that your head is basically at the floor level of everywhere else. And there's, or around the fire pit, right? That's why it's beautiful. Like, because these are spaces that invite a certain kind of experience. So where in our daily life do we invite a certain type of conversation? And when I hear you saying holding hands, looking each other in the eye, breathing together, whatever it is, what that is doing is it's creating the space for us to connect in a certain way. And oftentimes when we have discomfort in a relationship, or conflict, or it's uneven, or there is a need for conversation, we don't always create the space, right? And that's, there's two parts to these, this cathartic conversation I have. One is creating the space, and the other one is well-constructed questions in the right sequence.
I love it. That's up perfectly to get into these questions. What's one of the first ones that you feel compelled to share with a listener who is coming from a standpoint of, hey, I want to improve my romantic relationship? What sticks out to you as a valuable one?
Well, I think first I just say that we have these card games, right? 12 editions for all kinds of relationships. And that's really a beautiful tool because it does create the space. If your partner comes to you and says, why do you love me? while you're washing the dishes. You're not wondering why you love your partner. You're wondering, why is this coming up now? The space hasn't been created to have that conversation. With the card games is great. You shuffle the questions at random. Boom. Why do you love me? Oh, okay. Now the space is created. I'm not thinking about why you're asking me. I know why you're asking me, because we're playing a game and that's the card you pulled. And now permission and space has been granted for one person to tell the other person why you love them. And the, more importantly, maybe, at least for me, is to receive. So that's what the card games do. But the book, what's special about the book is that there is something about sequence. And then before I go into which questions, I just want to point out the sequence is really helpful. Because if I just ran, if we're playing this game and say, why do you love me? Okay, depending on what happened before, it will set us up how deep we may go with that answer. In 12 Questions for Love, why do you love me is the last question. But because it's been built on 11 previous questions and what you've gone through, why do you love me has been, you're going to go a lot deeper. You're going to go to a much deeper space. Why? Because in the first three questions, we built the trust and the synergy of what have we uniquely created together with these three questions? That's what it pulls, it illuminates. What have we uniquely created together? What connects us? What's the love and trust? The second three questions is, how are we dealing with conflict differently? From what are you hesitant to, what's our biggest challenge, to what's a sacrifice that you feel has not been acknowledged and why, right? So now we're dealing with conflict. Then we get to the kind of the crux, 7 and 8, which is really the climax, if you will. The really deep point, number 7, is what's the pain in me you wish you could heal and why? Now, because you've had these 6 questions before, exploring the trust and exploring how we deal with conflict, now we kind of earn a space to really go into that vulnerability in depth. Number 8 is, what's one experience you wish we never had and why? Right? Which is about the collective pain versus the individual pain of the individual in number 7. And then the last, and then 9, 10 are about gratitude and what are we learning from each other? What's an experience we really want to share that's kind of setting us where we're going? And then the last two are really exploring the things that we should say before, you know, we may never have the chance to say it. You know, if this were to be our last conversation, what's one thing you'd never want me to forget? And then the 12th, of course, is why do you love me? And so because of that architecture, because of that sequence, you're going through a process that's really going to take you into the depths and then out in healing into a constructive manner. And that's why this conversation will change your relationship forever, in my opinion, because it takes you on a journey. And you could take it over and over again, because while the questions may remain the same, I mean, I have a bunch in the back that are like offerings for different questions and different sequence. Parts of the sequence. But because you're always changing, you can ask these questions over time, right? You're changing, your relationship changing, so you can always come back to the same questions, or you can swap them out for different ones I have in the end of the book. But that's the intention behind the sequence of this. And that's why you're going to go through a really unique journey, is because it's built on an architecture that takes you on a journey that takes you in and takes you out.
When you have romantic partners come in and you're filming them and they're going through these questions, what kind of things have you been witness to? I'm sure lots of healing, lots of tears, lots of beauty. What's it like to just kind of be the architect of this and be able to witness it?
Gratitude, straight up, always. Just holy moly, gratitude. I might not be a huge fan of humans, but I'm a fucking huge fan of humanity. And for me, humanity, as I define it, is that thread that illuminates between us when we connect. It illuminates that connection of that we're not alone. Right? As humans, we may be alone, but when we engage with connection, we're illuminating the threads of humanity. I mean, that's just my paradigm of, and I really just feel grateful in the room because some beautiful things are said, some profound truths are said, that these are regular, normal people who are not poets or celebrities or thought leaders or, right, academics. These are normal, everyday people who are having experiences. And yet, sometimes they'll drop these words of knowledge and wisdom that are so profound that it gives you the goosebumps. And you're like, wow. You know it's, I'm not going to say true in the sense of absolute truth, but you know that it has a resonance of profundity, right? And that you get goosebumps when you hear that. You're like, you know that. That's just always a pleasure. I mean, I can give some specific examples. Lauren Brad are one, it's probably the longest video we've ever released that we filmed in November and released about 2-3 weeks ago, mid-January. you know, it's a married couple for 22 years. About a year ago, they lost their son. He just died in the shower in college. They don't know why. And 11 months later, they're on the end having the conversation. And there's a point where, what has life taught us? What do you think life has taught us? And I think Brad says, or one of them says, not to take it for granted. That's what life taught us, not to take. And they're taking the passing of their son, which I can only imagine the grief and challenge that is, as a reaffirmation of life. And the way that they are taking that on is just so beautiful and moving. And I was in the room, I have a 4-year-old and 1-year-old. They lost an 18-year-old son. I can only imagine what they've gone through. And I'm crying there, bawling, right? Or another experience I did earlier last year was with one of my good friends, Justin. I've known him for 16 years. And I've been filming The Ant for 10 years. And so we stepped into The Ant together, and it was so much fun. I mean, yeah, there was lots of laughter and tears shed, but it was so much fun. Even though we have a great relationship, but we never had that kind of conversation. And so then we had this great connection and these great memories for so long, and we are having a conversation we've never had before. And it's pulling out memories that we've forgotten about, or pulling out aspects or analogies that we haven't articulated. And you just get enthused. You're like, wow. And that's what I mean by feeling fulfilled and more vital, because you have these people around you that reflect you every day, that you have a connection with. And yet we're not mining that ingredients. It gives us a lot of energy when we do that. And that is always a great surprise. And then also, you know, kind of to your first question, so what have I learned or whatever, is I always see back to the idea of the social experiment. I'm watching these people talking in a room for hours, and I'm realizing, oh my God, the heart is built to love. Well, the heart just wants to connect. But it's got to kind of find its way out through each person's emotional scar tissue, like the maze of vulnerability and fear and doubt and guilt and shame and, you know, your own. And it comes out, finally it finds its way out, that energy. And then it's got to work its way through the social maze of rules and constructs, right? Is whatever, is this allowed or not acceptable? And this too cheesy or not? And then that's what the heart wants to do. Just find its way out to then find its way through the societal maze of rules and constructs to another yearning heart and connect. It's kind of one reason why, you know, people in some sense love psychedelics, because it removes that. It just enables the heart to connect with another heart. And that's, you know, I'm watching that. And that does happen in The Ant conversations. And you don't need the psychedelic. You just need to create the space and well-constructed questions to have that sense of connection and exploration.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. After a decade of hosting this podcast and talking to hundreds of experts, we know that money is one of the biggest stressors in relationships. Now, while worrying about money and anxiously awaiting payday doesn't help, Earnin actually does, by putting the money you earn in your hands today. Our sponsor, Earnin, is an app that gives you access to your pay-as-you-work up to $100 a day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an additional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Many couples end up fighting about finances, especially when surprise costs arise. Earnin allows you to seamlessly deal with the unexpected trip to the vet or that splurge on date night without the added stress, letting you both focus on what really matters. Earnin is helping millions of Americans feel self-sufficient and to worry and fight less about money. All of this without debt traps, mandatory fees, or credit checks. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in relationship advice under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. That's relationship advice under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Hey, Love Tribe, I have just a few questions for you. I want to know why you are here listening to the podcast. Are you here because you want to stop bickering with your partner and you want to feel truly heard? Or are you looking for ways to reignite your sex life? Or do you want to feel more emotionally connected with your partner? Or do you just long for those fun, giggly moments of connection that you used to have at the beginning of your relationship? Well, over the last decade of hosting this podcast, those were the main reasons people tuned into the show. And we get it. We've been there. So we created our course, Spark My Relationship, because we wanted to put those tools to unlocking a fulfilling relationship right in your hands. We're offering $100 off our course, Spark My Relationship, which is a self-paced course designed to help you create more passion, improve your communication, and build a stronger, more intimate connection with your partner and have an amazing time doing it. We've collaborated with over 15 therapists and psychologists to bring you the strategies that marriage therapists teach their clients. So to unlock this special offer of our course, our listeners can visit sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock to get $100 off. That's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock.
There's so many things I want to ask you.
Let's go.
Yeah. You know, having done 430 something of these episodes, and one of the big things that sticks out is that we're not taught these things. Like you said, our model is our parents, it's culture, it's society. And unfortunately, that's not a great model. And that's why I love having these conversations to get the tools for myself and be able to share them. Do you think that because culture and modern living and it's got all these distractions and there's so much to do and you're a father, I'm a father, that these things are in us, you know, our desire to connect and the heart and that those things have just made it harder to do so. And what you're doing is you're creating the space. You're like taking all that out, life and the externalities, and you're just sitting two people in chairs in front of each other, in that because our hearts are designed to do this, and we do need the questions, but that it's like, we just need to create that space and it's in us. Do you think that like in our evolutionary history, in our past, that was just a more common thing and we kind of lost that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I also think that we use the term love and we think it feels the same. I don't think it feels the same. And you could say biologically the same endorphins get released in the brain. Sure. But it's different. It's different when you know, your grandmother used to write, bleed ink from her pen into paper and lick that envelope, the saliva of her tongue, put that envelope into a mailbox and wait for 3-4 weeks. I mean, shit, forget, I don't have to go to grandma. I could go to when I was in high school. Right. And you wait 2-3 weeks for a response. Now that sense of connection and love, it's just different. It's a different thing now than sending a message on DM and waiting for a minute or 2 minutes. And if they send within 3, you're getting ghosted. It's just a different hit. Right. And I want to take you, for example, to a moment. How we all know this. You're at a restaurant, you see a couple, they're sitting there and they're both on their phones. Right. You see a family, they're all on their phones. But let's just go to the couple. They're on the phones, they're not talking, they're checking. Why are they on the phones instead of having a nice conversation, you know, over a meal with wine there? Why? Well, because you're getting more endorphin hits quicker off the phone. You're getting more pieces of new information faster on the phone as you scroll through Instagram or through your email or WhatsApp messages. You're getting more endorphin hits off of the phone than the person sitting across from you. But if you slow down and actually sit and have a conversation that asks different questions, you will get more profound, deeper, bigger nuggets of endorphin hits from that conversation than you'd get from the phone. And so you have, you know, 20 endorphin hits that are like very small. Boop, 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 boop. You're going to go pop, boom, boom, hits because you're slowing down and you're getting bigger hits. We just don't know how to do it. That's why we, you know, how often are you at a meal with someone you love, your dad, your brother, your wife, your ex-wife, your partner, right? And you want to have a talk. You want to break the script. But you don't know what to ask. You don't know how do we break this old pattern that you're basically boring though. I know what they're going to say. There's nothing here. Better questions. Well-constructed questions. That's the offering. But that's what I as I look around me, you know, I'm blessed with like a brother who's 17 years younger than I. And there was a period when we were both living in New York, both single. And I just saw, wow, how we were dealing with, not dealing, but how we were dating differently. And I mean, dealing with technology, how he was utilizing technology differently than I was for dating. And he was way more capable with it. Well, I want to get on a phone call. And he's like, whoa, why are you being aggressive with a phone call? Just send a text. And so we humans are evolving so fast and we're so good at adapting that we so quickly take things for granted, right? Within 10 years, there are generational shifts that we just assume it's always been like that, but it hasn't, you know?
These are such important things to bring awareness to. And I'm thinking with the phone, I saw this psychologist giving a talk and he gave an example of he was just holding the phone and he was talking. And just so you don't even have to be on your phone, you could have your phone on the table and that sends a signal that, yeah, you're important, but in case I get a call or a message, like it's right there. And so even that is a subconscious signal that we're giving or receiving that we can't really build deep intimacy to have those big pops, as you're saying. So I think it's, everyone talks about it. Yeah. It's in the zeitgeist, but really pay attention to it and try to cultivate, put the phone away, leave it in the car.
Yeah, man, I'll bring an analogy straight home. I mean, you're sitting there for the wave and you're waiting for the sets to come in. You're waiting. Am I going to take this or am I? And you're waiting and you're waiting. You might sit for half an hour for the right. And then boom, it comes and you get the wave and that hit is that much higher because you waited and you found it, right? Then the hits you get off the phone that are coming in all the time, bah, 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 right? I mean, would you rather get like 20 small waves that are not even knee high, or would you rather wait for that double overhead to come and you're going to wait 20 minutes? That payoff is that much more. Why don't we bring that into our relationship when we're at dinner, when we're waking up in the morning, when we're sitting there for that Sunday morning coffee? How do we bring that big wave in and surf it? Yeah.
Yeah.
This book is a surfboard.
Yeah, totally. And I think we laid a great foundation creating the space, having intention and bringing awareness around these things. And you went over some of the questions. So someone sitting at home right now is like, yeah, I want to do this. I want to do this. Can you maybe walk them through a little bit about creating the space and the first question to ask? And I'm excited to get the card game and dive into that.
Well, I do talk about what makes a good question in the scope of a relationship. And there's five things, right? One is don't ask a binary question. Do you love me? Yes, no. You know, are you angry at me? Yes, no. Like that's not going to get you to really explore your relationship is the yes, no. So one, don't ask a binary. Two is don't ask with an agenda. You know, you're going, well, why are you always so angry at me? That seems, you know, the person can be defensive. You know, even just mitigating that by saying, why do I feel as though you're angry at me? Because that makes your experience, and it's less on them. It's more like my experience. So there's more space. So offering questions is a gift, as an offering versus an agenda or, like a finger pointing at you. It's much easier to shake a hand that's palm up, you know, hands up, offering you than a finger that's pointing at you. Third one would be ask questions that have a constructive end. Our brains are built to give us answers, right? So if you ask, why do we fight so much? Okay, you're asking the brain, why do we fight so much? The brain's going to do its job. It's going to give you a whole laundry list of why we fight so much. But if instead you say, wait, let me direct that question to something more constructive. What's our biggest challenge right now? And what do you think it's teaching us? See how that reframing takes it to a more constructive end? Our mind is like a dog chasing sticks, and the sticks are the questions we ask. So don't throw your stick in the puddle. Why do we fight so much? You're going to be getting there in the mud, which is okay if you want to be there, but why not on the grassy knoll, on the hill with a nice view? Where you're like, oh, that's where we're going. It's a constructive question. So ask questions that have more of a constructive form that give you a more empowering space to be in. Right? So be aware of the questions you ask. We're always asking questions. We're not, you wake up in the morning, you're already talking to yourself. You don't realize that the answers you're giving yourself are an answers to a question. We're just not aware that we're asking questions. You wake up, I got to do this today. Well, you just said that because you ask yourself a question, what do I have to do today? Even if you wake up to the worst day scheduled, you could ask yourself, wait, hold on. What's the one thing today that's going to light me on fire? Then you'll be answering that. You'll be looking through all, right? The things you got to do for the positivity. Your brain serves the questions you ask. So ask good questions that are empowering. The other one is connect two things that are not usually connected. And what I mean by that is that creates a space for finding an answer, right? So like a very simple version would be, how much does earning money cost me or cost you? Or what's your favorite memory from your worst relationship? Right? Or how does conflict make us better? You're asking things that don't usually connect, and then you're forcing yourself to find, and that's a way to find an empowering answer or different. Another version to create empathy is to ask questions that put them in your shoes or put you in their shoes. You know? What do you think is the hardest thing being your friend? Okay, now you're going to put yourself in the shoes of all your friends looking at you, wondering, well, what's the hardest thing being Chase's friend or Topaz's friend? So asking these questions that put each other in each other's shoes, that is not binary, that's not an agenda, that has a constructive ending, those are really good ways of constructing powerful questions in the scope of a relationship. That's take home value right there. You know, when you're in a conversation with your partner, you know, what are the questions you're asking each other? You know, even I heard one on Esther Perel and a few weeks ago on a podcast where she says, oftentimes you even with this reframe, which is like, you know, you're in a fight with your partner and it's like, what are we fighting about? What are we fighting about this? You could just change that. What are we fighting for? Just that reframe is more empowering, right? So that's take home value, in my opinion, is be really aware of the questions you're asking each other in a relationship.
Earlier in the conversation, you talked about like these automated responses and questions. How's the weather? How are you doing? One of the things I've enjoyed trying to do, and I'd love to hear your prompts, is going back to the surf line up. I see the same people every morning. It's like this little community and it's really great. And I'm definitely there to catch waves. And sometimes I don't like talking. That's its own separate thing. But I will try to not engage in those, hey, you know, catch any waves this morning or how's it going? And one of the questions I ask, and I would love your opinion and if you have some prompts, is there anything exciting coming up for you this week, you know, that you're really excited about? And it's fulfilling for me because there's more meaning, there's more intimacy. I'm actually want to know. And it's not like this automated kind of greeting of like, how are the waves? And you're not even listening to the response, nor do you care. I'd love to hear your thoughts on ways that people can ask better questions in those situations, because I think the more we train there, it's going to be more fulfilling in those instances, and we can bring that into our more intimate, deeper relationships.
Totally. Yeah. I don't know how deep I go waiting on the lineup because, and we don't have to, you know, it's fun questions too, like, which is great. You know, what basic levels, like, you know, what surprised you most this week? What's the biggest unexpected thing? Or I like to ask, what are you doing with your most valuable time? Because as a parent, it's like maybe your most valuable time is that 20 minutes in the afternoon or the 1 hour in the night when your kid goes to bed and before you pass out, right? What are you doing with that most valuable of your time? Another one I like to ask is, you know, what's the enigma that where's your mental energy going? Where's most of your energy going? What's the thing that you find most challenging right now that you're like contemplating? You know, what's the biggest question in your head these days, right? You know, or man, what did you see last week that blew your mind? You know, what do you envision that's impossible, but you'd really like to have see happen? Just to get that sense of, you know, or what are you really stoked about, but scared about, you know? Or then, you know, I don't know, I do in the lineup, but just in general, like a great question that I'm playing with is, and it goes to like confront, you know, things that are against each other. You know, what's your favorite lie you love telling yourself? Or the flip side of that is, what's the truth you hate telling yourself? You know? Yeah.
I'm going to annoy some people in the lineup if I go out.
They're going to be like, yeah.
I love it.
But I think there's space, you know, it's, you know, you have to find the right spot for it, you know? So the question has to suit the environment too, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, right. I was being silly, but it's so valuable to exercise that muscle. And as you're giving those examples, it's not only valuable to deepen our relationship with others and in there, but with ourselves and totally. Asking ourselves those questions. I'm like, wow, what is the one truth I hate telling myself? Man, I gotta meditate on that. That's beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, I think I love all the decks, but one that I really appreciate is the self deck, where it's questions to ask yourself. You know, that's a great way to explore, well, what you're going, whatever you're spending your time on right now and your mental energy, whatever kind of obstruction you have, whatever the current obstacle in your life is, it's a great way to ask yourself questions around that so you can overcome it and then deepen it. And sometimes we also play it. We have a stranger's deck, but sometimes we play the self deck with strangers and everyone pulls a card and then answers to themselves, but in the group setting to them. So it's a great way to kind of get insight into somebody, right? And there's certain questions like, I have one that's informed from my time in New Zealand with the Maori is, what is your mountain? Which could be interpreted in a number of ways, you know, that could be like, what's your biggest accomplishment or what's your biggest challenge? Or what's your current direction that you're going in?
So many little nuggets. I'm excited to get all of those decks. I'm in Costa Rica, but I'll be in the States in a month. So I'll definitely have to pick them up and I could do a much longer series of conversations with you around this. It's fascinating. So Topaz, thank you for taking the time to come on the show, for sharing these beautiful questions. Before we wrap up, can you tell your listeners where they can find you online? We'll link certainly to your YouTube channel. Tell them about your new book and then we'll say goodbye.
Yeah, great. You can find theskindeep.com is our website and basically all the social media tags are the Skin Deep. And then the book is called 12 Questions for Love. It's available on ebook, audiobook, and basically anywhere, hardcover, anywhere you get your books. And personally, my website is topazadesis.com. But thanks for having me on, Chase. It's been really good.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time. We'll have all those links in our show notes and on our website.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into today's episode. As always, all the links to the guest, as well as any of their recommendations, will be in the show notes page. You can find the link to that in the episode description or by going to idopodcast.com. Click on the podcast tab up at the top and you will have access to all the episodes that we've ever done. There are over 300 of them. And while you're on our website, if you haven't checked out our free 14-day Happy Couple Challenge, we really hope you do. It's a free email challenge that we send to you. It's 14 days of fun, easy, doable challenges to help strengthen and improve your relationship. And if you're looking for something that provides a little more help with working on your relationship, whether it's improving intimacy or communication with your partner, or just bringing the spark back, we would love for you guys to check out our online course, Spark My Relationship. We're offering $100 off to all of our listeners if you go to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. We've worked with over 15 psychologists and therapists to create the real life tools and strategies that they are teaching their clients. So we wanted to give them to you. It's a self-paced online course that can be done in as little as a month or up to 3 months. You can really decide how much or how little you want to do with your partner, or maybe just yourself. So we hope you guys check that out. It's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. Have a great day. We hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Just a reminder that we are offering our online course, Spark My Relationship, for only $100. That is nearly 60% off. This offer is only available until Saturday, April 6th. So head on over to our website, sparkmyrelationship.com, and use the promo code FLASH24 to get our online course, Spark My Relationship, for just $100. That's sparkmyrelationship.com and use the code FLASH24 to get the course for $100.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.